Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the human brain and how can it make our life better. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah. One of the most interesting subjects is undoubtedly the human brain. So many say that despite the significance of the brain, most of the way it works is still hidden from scientists. There are even those that say that we know more about outer space and about the solar system than we do about our brain. And it's really something very challenging, and there are many projects dealing with this. One of the biggest projects from 2005 is called the Human Brain Project. It's a project that has several goals, one of which is that scientists want to try and understand how does the brain work. Of course, they want to use this information in order to better understand why the different neurological, psychiatric diseases develop and so on, and try and find a remedy. And the third thing that they want to find out is they want to find out how the human brain works, and based on that, to build a supercomputer, artificial intelligence based on human intelligence. So, this is something really interesting, and billions are invested in trying to understand what can the human brain do for us. And maybe my first question is, from your perspective of the wisdom of Kabbalah, where can the human brain lead us, its potential? To death. This is one option, or it's the only option? So if we look at the abilities of the human brain, this is something very meaningful, what you just said. It leads us to death, self-destruction. Yeah. Why, actually? What else, then? I don't know, maybe the ability to further evolve. There's so much money spent and so many research is done in order to study the subject, make things better. How? I don't know, find solutions, remedies for different problems in order to make things better. This I don't understand. If man's inclination is evil from the very start, if we act out of the ego, our development only brings us closer to death. What do you mean by death? When you say death, what do you mean? Death, meaning that eventually we bring ourselves closer to nothing, to absence, meaning what? Destruction. This is really interesting because on our previous show, we talked about the difference between the human brain and the animal brain. And we know that an animal wants to survive. It constantly preserves itself. It won't obliterate itself. Right. So why would humans? Because man's intention or inclination is evil from the start. He's constantly thinking about how to harm. How to harm whom? Others, in order for him to feel good, because as a result he feels better. So someone will die and maybe someone will be better off. No, we see that eventually we live in a direction where we're suffering more and more. What do you mean? 100 years ago, if you got some kind of infection, you'd die on the spot. Today, you can take some antibiotics and survive. So we suffer more how? We suffer more in terms that our life isn't getting better, happier, meaning the more we develop, the more we suffer. that we have more medicine, and instead of 50 years, we can live for 100, or maybe soon even for 150 years, that doesn't make us happy. Wasn't the development of the human brain supposed to make us happier in life? The brain, all in all, serves the desire. Don't we want to be happier? No. Do you know someone that doesn't want to be happy? I don't. A person who wants to be in a better state than the current one. It doesn't mean that he wants to be happy. Meaning, because we're developing in a nature which is entirely egoistic, egocentric, at the expense of others. We always compare ourselves to the environment, to others. We derive pleasure from being better than others. We get pleasure from how much we degrade others. Accordingly, a person examines, measures how he feels. What is my status? And therefore, the more we develop, the more we'll suffer. Why is that? Because we want to suppress others, and as a result, to feel that I'm happy. And what does it do to our brain, this desire? The brain, all in all, serves the desire. Stop looking at the brain as having a personality of its own or something. It doesn't. That's it. It's simply a machine that serves the desire, for the desire to get what it wants. To what measure can I fulfill the desire? With different exceptions, in order not to harm oneself and so on, but to serve the desire. This is all that this box does. It doesn't understand that it's possible to do something beyond this. What activates it? Only the desire. So the desire activates, operates the brain unit. And once the desire stops developing, then the brain necessarily only serves that desire and eventually comes to a stop. So if I want to keep developing my brain to the next level, first of all, let's ask this. Does the human brain have the potential to develop in a different direction, a better direction? Infinitely. It all depends on the desire. I have to think about the desire. So we have to develop a higher desire, and then the brain will develop accordingly. The desire will force, compel the brain to develop. I'm a bit confused. Why is it so hard for you to agree with this? You see this point? You said two contradicting things. We asked, where is the human brain leading us? You said, death. Now you said, the human brain has the potential to develop endlessly. The potential. But according to the desire, according to which it develops, this desire leads it to death. Can you explain this? I have a computer that knows how to do everything, but I give it just one order. How can I control everyone? As if the hardware is infinite, but the program running it is limited. It's tiny. This is the problem. Of course. So you're saying that the human brain is like infinite hardware. Our brain is connected to the brain of the entire universe and all the worlds. Our brain, our mind, is limitless. And it's truly so. And it's not what you have here inside this box. This is just a modem by which to connect with the infinite brain that exists in nature. But the tiny desire that exists in us, this little snake, it's the problem. It forces this great big computer to work on, I want to harm a bit here and harm a bit there and harm him and harm this. And this is what we're playing with. It's interesting because researchers show that if a person has the same thought all the time, the brain doesn't really develop. There's this constant repeating trajectory. By this, we really narrow it down, and eventually we'll limit it to a point where it becomes like the brain of a mouse, insect, I don't know what, instead of a brain that can comprehend all the worlds, the entire reality. In this, we're unlimited in our brain capacity. Okay, if I want to increase my brain ability, what should I do? Increase your desire, enlarge it. I want to do it now. The desire. Yeah. How can you? What desire increases the ability of the human brain? What do I want? So all in all, in my will to receive, in my desire, all in all, what can I want? Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. Six desires that three of them are bodily desires, food, sex, family. And three of them are human desires, money, honor, knowledge. Knowledge meaning the acquisition of knowledge, information. Yeah, that's it. It's all limited. Limited how? What limits it? What limits it is the measure to which I can fantasize, imagine, envision something. This is what limits me. Because something that I haven't felt yet, something that I didn't guess yet, let's put it that way, I can't want it. I'm limited in that. So what I can't imagine, I can't achieve, this is what you're saying? Yeah, I can't think about it. I can't think about not being able to envision it. Okay, there's something really interesting that I read, and it reminds me. There's this new trend that we take our brain to the gym. Different kinds of institutes that help the brain stay young and fresh, doing different exercises like language exercises, chess games. The goal actually being to help the brain process information better, more quickly. If there's a computer next to me, then what do I need that for? Right, so why did this come up? Because I see that there is the desire to keep the brain in shape, process things more quickly, and so on. So what kind of gym would you recommend me to put my brain in? The brain doesn't need any kind of gym. Who then? Only the desire? Only the desire. Okay, so let's take it to the gym. What would you recommend me to develop? This is exactly what the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about, what you're asking. To join the correct society that talks about a different desire, a desire for connection. Then I start developing every time a bigger desire because I'm among others that I connect with, and then I have a greater desire because I connect with other people. The main thing is the goal here, that all of us want to unite our desires, to build as if one desire between us. And then, if we're 10, suppose, then in each of us, there is a 10 times bigger desire. So I need a 10 times bigger brain. Not just 10 times bigger. Also, the different styles that I take from them, meaning developed and complex. It doesn't just become 10 times bigger. Its inner structure becomes more sophisticated. So, if I suppose go to like this gym and I train with another 10 people like me, where all of us want to achieve a certain degree of connection between us, each of us gains 10 times as much. So, my program develops, and as a result, it activates or operates a larger part of the hardware. No. To the contrary, your desire is the hardware. Next to it, the program that executes the desire develops. Executing your desire, what you want. Then the brain starts serving your heart that becomes 10 times bigger. Meaning my desire suddenly grows because you're connected with others. And then you need a 10 times bigger brain. And then what really happens in the brain? How does it gets a 10 times bigger volume. So the brain really develops? It develops, only you can't feel it. We don't have instruments to measure it. How does it develop? It has to serve a 10 times bigger and more sophisticated, complex desire. This is the main thing. And it has a special compound. It's not 10 times more egoistic. It's more altruistic, meaning that the brain develops in a special way, in a special style, with a special character. It starts working the other way around, as if in an inverted way. If up till now it was all about how to provide more and more of my egoistic desires, how to grab more and pull to myself and so on, now it's developing the other way around. How do I give outwards? How can I fulfill? In that, it starts feeling limitless, because how much do I want to pull from everyone to myself, or how much can I give from myself outwards? Outwards, it's like into open space. So let's see what happens with a person in such a place. What does he go through? He goes through a state where his desires expand and they become broader and more sophisticated. At their essence, they become different. They're of bestowal, and in bestowal, both the mind and the heart become limitless. So there are a few things here. First of all, the system starts working the opposite to how it did up till now. And the second thing is that it grows and becomes more sophisticated. Yeah. So as a result, what happens to my own brain? Your brain, like we said, is a modem. It connects to what it needs to. The entire universe, the entire world, and all the worlds, it's just a brain and desire. And then you become connected with that. And you feel connected to a limitless mind and heart that's outside of your body. Why am I not connected to this now? Because you're the very opposite of it. How? All of your desires, all of your thoughts, all of your traits, all your abilities, they all work only in order to absorb, grab, steal something for myself, and that's it. Whereas, if you start working on bestowing outwards to fulfill that which is outside of yourself, you're unlimited. Through you, the mind and heart of the entire reality passes from the outside inwards and back. You become like a transition. First of all, toward humanity at first, and then toward all the worlds, the transition between what and what, between what you receive, pass through yourself, amplify it by 620 times, and also instill in it your special character called your soul. Increase it by what? By 620. Why 620? Because this is the structure of your soul, of your desire. So, to summarize, a few minutes ago you said that I have a computer that knows how to do everything, but I give it just one order, how to control everyone. And because of this, the abilities of my brain are very limited. Yeah. On the other hand, you just said that if your brain, your desire, your thoughts, all your traits will start working in correspondence with the general brain of the universe, you'll be able to be connected with it. And I don't know exactly what will pass through you, and the abilities will go and grow infinitely. Yeah. So all in all, the entire difference between today's status and the more developed one is that today, because I want to absorb, like you said, inwards, then my vessels of absorption are limited. It's like this cup, whatever can fit in it, that's it. And the brain works in order to navigate this in the best possible way. Now, if instead of absorbing, I want to emit outwards, correspondingly the abilities of my brain will grow, and I will also be connected to the general brain operating in the entire universe, and from it I'll get, I don't exactly know what, and from me it will pass on further and further to everyone else. We're talking about the desire. The brain isn't the main issue here. The main thing is the desire. So, suppose I start advancing in this direction. You become a part of the infinite reality in your desire and in your mind. And what will that do to my brain? Your brain, now and also before, all in all, it's... In all the worlds, there's just one desire. And in all the worlds, there's just one brain. Only we use it in a very narrow, egoistic way. In Hebrew called kista de chayuta, a very tiny part of life. Because egoistically, we want to grab, fulfill ourselves in this very lowly way. If you start working with your brain and desire, like the rest of reality is, outside of yourself, in the opposite manner, then you become an active part there, and this entire reality passes through you, through your emotions, through your mind, and you increase this ability by 620 times, and you truly become a part of the next world. What changes does my brain go through? It joins the program of bestowal instead of the program of reception, according to which it lives right now. It's a form that nothing to say about it besides kista de chayuta, tiny, tiny fraction of life. It's like something that you can watch only through a microscope that barely exists. What's the true meaning of my brain connecting with this modem of life? You start understanding what are you living for, why, how everything works. Everything opens up before you, as opposed to now, where you don't even know anything about your own life. What will you want in a moment? What will happen in a moment? What are you going to think about in a moment? Right. We don't understand this for sure. And then once the brain starts getting this broader part of reality, it starts understanding everything. It doesn't have to understand. It all belongs to it. You don't have to make an effort to understand, to connect things. It simply exists in it, opens up, and that's it. Sounds amazing. By the way, are there people who achieve this? Of course, it's all meant for people to achieve. It's all attainable. Were there special people in history that achieved this? Of course, of course. And this open heart and mind are called the Creator, nature. This is what the Creator is, nature, yes, or the soul, which is one and the same. So my individual brain will eventually feel as a part of this supercomputer, not even a part, but it's all completely integrated, complete integration. So if we take a comprehensive look at the human brain, we used to be animals, then we developed, our brain developed better and better skills and abilities, and we came to what we have today with the scientific and technological development and so on. What's going to happen tomorrow? We're going to reveal the state that we're in. Like you mentioned the history of our development. We never left that great, big, existing mind and heart. only we limited ourselves by our little, small, egoistic desire that closed us in. But actually, this is what we exist in all the time, in this infinite mind and heart. And where are we going to be tomorrow? Wherever you want. Wherever you want, you can do it today. Just to open your heart, and accordingly, the brain will open up, the mind. Were I to suppose meet a person who went through this change, through this transition, he went through this process. Maybe he didn't achieve everything completely, maybe still partially, but would I see any kind of change? How would you see it? Does he behave differently? How would you see it? How would that person see me? I don't want to tell you. No, we're not talking about her. How would he see the world? He sees the world as tiny desires, each closed inside itself, thinking only about their own existence. And what does that person want? He wants to open them up. And the open status is what? The open status is that they'll feel that they exist in an infinite world inside the Creator. Is all of this somehow related to religion? It's unrelated to anything besides the mind and the heart. And what changed about them? They opened themselves up toward others, outwards. They stopped thinking only inwards. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.